From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes.
But where it's going, no one knows.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along today. Carol Kane live with me in our studio from beautiful downtown Waukesha. Calvin is on the board. You can always join us. Call or text 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. It is Thursday. That means it is time for our public cervix announcement with Dr. Kristen Lierley. Good morning, okay. Dr. Lierley.
Good morning. I am so ready. How are you guys this morning?
We're great. Hey, I wanted to ask you if you did deliver any babies over the Christmas weekend.
I delivered a Christmas Eve baby, and I've got one cooking upstairs right now.
Okay. All right.
So if I get called away, that's where I'm headed.
Seriously, is she that close?
No.
No, it's going to be a while. It could be a long process.
But you never know. I mean, sometimes you are very surprised. The baby that I delivered on Christmas Eve, she looked very, calm, comfortable. 30 minutes later, she's holding her crying baby.
Wow.
Well, and you know what? With my daughter, to tell you the truth, because she's just a stinker in real life to begin with, she flipped at the last minute. She was down perfect and perfect birthing position, and then all of a sudden she went transverse breech on me. So we had to all of a sudden, then it was like, oh, we got to get her out, So I was only dilated like 3 centimeters, and they were like, we got to go.
We got to go.
We got to go. So she's fine. Trust me, she's fine. But I mean, you just don't know. And things, like you said, can change it really quickly.
Well, hopefully she
gets. That's one of the things about birth, I think, that people go into it with this magical idea that people have been doing this for centuries and centuries, and it's going to be fine. And most of the time it is fine, but it's also very unpredictable. So
right.
I think the more flexible that you can be in your approach to birth and pregnancy, the better off everybody is going
to
be.
Yeah, don't expect your pregnancy to be the same as your friends or right. or your relatives, right? It just doesn't work that way.
So.
Well, 100%.
Okay, I got to be honest with you, Doc. I've got to really watch myself with this this one subject matter that we're going to be talking about when it comes to penises.
Talk to me about your penis problem, Carol.
No, but I think it was fascinating. When Jane sent me the outline, I was like, wow, we're going all in on this one.
Well,
so
we use the actual terms for body parts on public cervix announcement, right?
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Yeah, definitely. So this is something I had never heard of, Dr. Lierley. Data out of Germany suggests that Christmas time is a time for penile fractures.
What's happening?
Christmas is a time for penile fractures. Na, 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 na.
A new Christmas theme. It'll be a new Christmas song. Wait until Greg is back tomorrow and we'll work on something. First of all, what is a penile fracture?
You can actually break your penis.
You can break it.
It is possible. Yeah. There's a reason they call it a boner, I guess, huh?
Every man out there right now is grabbing his privates. This is a horrifying idea.
Yes, this would be. This is horrifying for anybody.
Okay, please talk to me like I'm a 5-year-old. Because how does this happen? I don't get it. How does this happen?
Well, usually with force. So with an erect penis, there are these tunnels inside that fill up with blood. That's all part of the erection process. And with inappropriate force, it can happen during sex, it can happen playing sports, it can happen, anytime that an erect penis is involved in some sort of a traumatic event, you can actually snap or break those tunnels and the lining of the tunnels. And it can damage not just the lining of the tunnels, but it can damage, remember, the urethra runs through there. That's
right.
How the pee gets out of your body.
Right.
So it can damage the urethra. So this is an emergency. And it happens rarely, but it does happen. I've seen it even as an OBGYN doctor, I've seen this in medical school. It's very painful and it typically requires an immediate surgical correction. If you can still pee and it's not something that's, you know, completely horrible, some people choose not to have surgery, but there can then be long-term effects like Peyronie's disease, if you've seen those commercials on TV, the carrot.
I don't know what that is. I'm afraid.
That's the bent penis. There have been a lot of, Calvin, you've seen these commercials, haven't you, for Peyronie's disease? Calvin's face is like, I do not want to talk about this topic right now.
I know. Calvin's being suspectly quiet.
There are a lot of commercials about this new treatment for Peyronie's disease because sometimes erect penises aren't straight. They can be a little bit bent, and that's actually fairly common. That's due to scar tissue. So there's a new treatment for that, and I'm not an expert in that area at all. But if you break your penis and it's not like a severe break that needs surgery, it can result in long-term scarring, and that long-term scarring can turn into Peyronie's disease.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest for our public cervix announcement, as we do every Thursday at this time. And we're talking about new data out of Germany, which suggests that Christmas time is a time for penile fractures. 3,400 men, the average age of 42, and 16 years of data. I honestly, Dr. Lyerly, and I don't know why I should be surprised that you can break your penis, because there is a bone in it, right? Or is there not?
No,
there is no bone.
There is no bone. It's these corpus cavernosa. So there's this lining called the tunica albuginea, and it lines the corpora cavernosa, which are just tunnels. And when those tunnels fill up with blood, and that's what creates the erect penis, it's like a bone. I mean, it's that stiff, and it has to be. And that's why if it's really erect and stiff, it can snap with enough trauma in the right vector. So it's not really, there's no bone in your penis, but it gets stiff because of these tunnels.
So does the data explain, I mean, is there just so much wild sex happening over Christmas time, or are we all going out to play touch football with our friends and we get a little overexcited and get hit wrong?
The data doesn't really go into the reasons. And, you know, it doesn't have to be wild sex. It can just be like you aimed wrong, you know, at some point. Like, you know, when you're having that thrusting, it's possible that the penis can come out and not hit its target and maybe get just to the side of the target. And, you know, with thrusting behind it, that enough trauma could be, I know you're both like your heads are in your hands right now. That was the one case that I saw in medical school, and that is actually a pretty common cause. But, you know, anytime that a penis is erect and there is trauma involved, it is possible that it could break.
This is the longest conversation I've ever had about erect penises.
This could be a radio first, at least in Wisconsin. I'm not sure. It's not funny, obviously, for men that this has happened to. That's got to be horrible. I can't even imagine. And so they have surgery, Dr. Lyerly, and then it's not like you put a splint on it.
Well, what probably happens, and I don't see this part of it, is they probably end up with a Foley catheter that goes in through the urethra to the bladder so that they can empty their bladder.
Which is not, from what I understand, is not a pleasant experience at all.
No, we use that in men and women. It's a really common experience for people who can't void to use a Foley catheter. Actually, my patient upstairs has one right now. But yeah, that happens. And then they have to go in and they have to fix that tunica albuginea, that fabric that creates, it's almost like a tent or, you know, like, it's like a balloon. It's like a latex balloon. They have to fix the balloon so that it can hold blood again in the future.
And who does this? This is the job of a urologist, or is there a specific surgery, a surgeon, doctor that has to do this?
This is a job for a urologist.
Got it. Okay. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Boy.
Be careful out there. I don't know.
Well, there's one thing. study that I thought was so funny that most of these occurrences happened on Saturday nights, but some Fridays, and New Year's was also a time. So fellas, New Year's is coming up. Be aware.
Be aware and watch where you're aiming.
Yeah.
Apparently, so you want the direction is going to be very important.
Right. Have your target fully in focus. Have your target ready to go.
Maybe this is also the appropriate time to talk about lube, because that can also help to make sure that things are slippery enough so that you don't end up, even if you don't hit your target head on, you can kind of, you know, like slide into the right spot, because
sure,
lube can be a very important part of intercourse and making sure that it's comfortable, especially for women. Yeah. As we age.
Yes.
You know, menopause. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have that same natural, normal lubrication. So to have something that works for your body, whether it's a water-based, silicone-based, some people even use things like almond oil, like something that you can find in your kitchen cabinet. Yes, you can use those things, and they're safe. They're not bad for you.
Almond oil, I would never have thought.
No. Mm-hmm.
Can it?
Olive oil.
Crisco.
Oh, God. Stop, James, stop.
I'm just asking questions. I'm curious.
See, I mean, my father was a pharmacist, so we had a whole big section. So I, you know.
You knew about all that stuff?
All that stuff, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Lube is a thing. When I go to my professional conference, there's actually, in the past, there have been lube bars where all the lube people who are selling it, they show up and they've got their wares out there, and they'll, like, you know, they rub it on your arm to show you how slippery it is. And a giant flowery vulva in the back of the display. You guys really need to come to some of my conferences. They are a lot of fun.
You must have the best jokes. I can't even imagine the jokes that are generated at your conferences. We may have to tag along just for grins.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about breasts. When we return, are your breasts normal? You're listening to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, our public cervix announcement. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Should be making love. Come on, how many guys you know make
love? Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and
you
me.
And me.
Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
A little bit. Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So very happy to have you along. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Carol Kane with me live in studio. Calvin is on the board, and as she is every Thursday, in for our public cervix announcement, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. We were talking in the earlier segment about penile fractures, which apparently happen this time of year over the holidays. Angie from Monroe texted in, I just want to say I learned something new today. That's why we're here.
Exactly.
That's why we're here, to pass on knowledge.
Well, I've made it very clear that that's a goal of mine every day, to learn something new. So thank you, doctor. I appreciate you giving me the info.
It's my sincere pleasure.
And if you ever have a question for Dr. Lyerly, please feel free to call in or text at 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. All right, switching from penises to breastises, are your breasts normal?
No. No, seriously, mine aren't. I always call them Marty Feldman eyes, because they're kind of like going different directions.
What is not normal about that?
Thank God I found a man who loves me. You know what I mean?
Are they supposed to be directional? I'm not sure. So take us through the quiz, Dr. Lyerly. There is a quiz to determine whether or not your breasts are normal.
All right. So the first question is, should both of your breasts be the same size?
I would say no.
No.
What? Calvin, are you gonna Are you going to?
Calvin's like, no.
Calvin's like, I do not.
I'm totally staying out of this.
Okay.
Typically, no. Most people have breasts that are either the breast itself is not, they're not the same size, or the nipples and the nipple complex are not the same size. So most people actually have asymmetrical breasts. Good job.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not, right. Human bodies are not
perfect.
Right? We're not symmetrical. Everything's not even.
No.
And have you ever seen those studies where they take somebody's face and they cut it in half and then they do a mirror image of one side of your face to the other side and you look like a different person?
Yeah.
Because even your face isn't symmetrical.
That's kind of freaky.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it is weird, but never mind.
All right. Question number two. Are my breasts normal?
Extra nipples, either I, happen in women more than men, or two, can grow anywhere, even your face.
Wow.
We know about the triple nipple, you know, like they're, we know Marky Mark has an extra nipple.
Right,
we know Chandler Bing from Friends has an extra nipple. Does it happen more often in men, or can they grow anywhere, even your face?
I'm going to go with men.
Men. That's what I was going to go with that one, too.
This happens more with men. Or can we grow them on our face?
Carol.
Yes.
Carol, write this one down. They can grow anywhere, even your face.
Okay. I wake up in the morning and I've got a nipple on my cheek. I'm coming to you. I'm going to go, okay, Doc, do something about this.
Is this something that happens when you're young? Or can it
you're
just... You're born. Okay.
Well, we're mammals. So think about cats and dogs and the nipple line that they have. You know, they don't just have like two, like we mostly do.
Right.
They have a whole line because they tend to have a litter. Well, we actually have a nipple line that goes mostly from your armpit down to your pubic area, but it actually can go, people can have nipples on their legs. They can have nipples on their necks and on their faces.
Okay.
That's very, your body must be very confused because your face is nowhere near your nipples. It's like, concentrate.
But yet your nipples can be on your face.
Okay.
Good to know.
All right.
What's our next question?
All right. One more thing. It may not look like a nipple. It may look like a little birthmark.
Interesting.
Okay.
So how is it?
So it probably doesn't look like a full-fledged, like, you know, areola, nipple. The whole thing. And sometimes, depending on the nerve stimulation, it can actually have the ability to, like, to get erect, like a nipple would get erect. Like your breast nipples would get erect.
You know what? This is mic drop time. I'm just like, I'm out.
We have seven more questions to get through.
Okay.
Next question.
Hair around your nipple is A, unusual, B, common, C, a sign of a problem.
I think
hairy nipples.
I think it's B.
I think it's B too.
Yeah, it is normal to have a few small hairs on the areola. And it's okay to cut them, but it's recommended not to pluck them.
Ow.
Oh, okay.
Good to know. Next question.
Can you reach orgasm from nipple play only?
Yes.
Yes.
Atta girl! Yes, you can! Good work. You answered that very quickly, and so we'll move right on to the next question, which is, a breast is A, a muscle, B, an organ, or C, an appendage?
C, an appendage.
Yeah, I agree. It's an appendage full of fat.
Well, maybe at this point in your life it is, but at one point it was an organ that has a purpose, and its purpose is to produce milk.
Ah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, Dr. Lyerly, we got a few questions left to go before we got to go. What's next?
How much weight does breast milk add? A quarter pound, a half pound, or 1 pound?
Well, I know we've talked about the magical properties of breast milk.
Yeah.
And how it really is like nothing else. So I'm going to go with C.
But doesn't that vary by the individual?
It definitely varies. On average, though, breast milk can add up to a half a pound.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay.
Okay.
Which, think of the pressure that puts on your back. You know, like it screws up your posture, and breastfeeding is no joke, my friends, but it is worth it if you can.
Yeah, if you can, absolutely. But we've talked about the difficulties and all the planning that's involved, and right, and it's a process.
Yeah.
It's a process. Mm-hmm. All right, next.
Breastfeeding makes your breasts sag. True or false?
I'll say false.
I'll say false too.
It is false, although a lot of people believe that it's true. It's false because age makes your breasts sag, not breastfeeding.
Yeah, gravity will always win.
Yeah, trust me.
unless there's some extra added infrastructure or something, gravity is always going to win. All right, briefly in the time we have left.
Nipple leakage is normal, yes or no?
I would say no.
I would say no too.
Only when you have a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise something is not right. Right, Dr. Lairley?
Yep. Okay. Yes, if you have nipple leakage and you're not in the pregnancy, postpartum period, talk to your doctor. Very important.
I got to be honest. You know what? I got to be honest with you. I went shopping at a mall right after I had Elizabeth. I came home and looked in the mirror and I was absolutely mortified. It was just like, what happened?
One more real quick.
All right. Question 10. Most women are happy with their breasts. True or false?
I would say no, because we're never happy with anything.
You're right. False. Most women are not happy with their breasts. But if you're not happy with your breasts, there are things you can do. Again, talk to your doctor. Lots of plastic surgery options. Lots of things we can do to help.
Dr. Kristen Lairley, our guest, thank you so very much. It has been a very informative half hour. Happy, happy New Year. I hope you get your New Year's baby this weekend.
Happy New Year. Take care of yourself out there. It's a dangerous world.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When we return, Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com will be here. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Carol Kane with me in our studio, coming to you live across the Civic Media Network from our station in downtown Waukesha. I've got Calvin on the board and joining us from onmilwaukee.com to talk movies and TV and the best and worst of 2023. Matt Miller, good morning, Matt. Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Hi, Matt.
I'm doing great. How are you guys? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, absolutely. So, what comes to mind? Where do you want to start? With the best? What's more fun? The best or the worst? Because you have to watch everything.
Yeah, let's start with the best.
Okay.
Let's start with the positive on the movie side of things. Obviously, you got to start with one of the biggest movies of the year, Oppenheimer. That is one of my top five easily of the year. It is tremendous cinema. It is 3 hours that runs like a freight train. It is some of the best performances you'll see all year, some of the best filmmaking you'll see all year. And I think, you know, a lot of people try to pigeonhole that movie as like a kind of like a troubled white genius movie. And I don't think that's what it is. I think the movie is very, it really interrogates this Oppenheimer person and kind of questions how great was he. And, you know, and questions the whole idea of American progress and kind of the blind nature of it, that like, oh, we get so obsessed with trying to with pushing forward and having no idea and blind naivete to the consequences of these things. I think it's a tremendous film, and I would love to see it result in hopefully Christopher Nolan's first Best Director win and maybe some more awards come Oscar season.
I have not seen Oppenheimer yet. Is there any? Is it going to be streaming anytime soon, Matt? Do you know?
I believe if it's going to be streaming anywhere, I would imagine it would be on Peacock or Max. Christopher Nolan, big proponent of theatrical experience, so I know he probably had a high window for when things can show up on streaming.
Sure.
Also, with awards nominations coming up in January, I have to imagine it'll pop back into theaters. So if you missed it, and I do think this is a theatrical movie. It's a 3-hour long film. It's a big movie. It's a loud movie. that is a movie designed for the theatrical experience. It is not, however, I will say, my number one movie of the year. My number one movie of the year is the complete opposite of a loud, explosive movie about bombs. It's called, I saw it at the Milwaukee Film Festival this year. It is called Rice Boy Sleeps. It is a small, independent Canadian movie about immigrants, about Canadian immigrants, Korean immigrants living in Canada, and this young boy and his mother, and it's a really tremendous movie. It hit me like a bag of bricks emotionally. Just a beautifully constructed movie, very delicate, very emotional. Just a truly lovely motion picture. I know that's available hopefully on some streaming places. I know, for instance, I saw it. It was available on an airplane, and I just didn't want to start crying. Just didn't want to start crying in the middle of a flight. But Rice Boy Sleeps is a true gem, and that's my favorite thing I saw this year.
Again, you said it's Rice Boy Sleeps.
Yes, Rice Boy Sleeps.
Okay.
And it didn't really get a Canadian a release, much of a release here in America. Like I said, if it wasn't for the Milwaukee Film Festival, never would have showed up here. And I'm glad it did, because it's a tremendous movie. I walked out of that movie, and the person I saw it with, we just had to like stand on the sidewalk for 10 minutes and just like talking, just like what a picture.
The
things that movie pulls off with so little, it really hit me a lot, that movie.
That's really intrigued. Now I'm really intrigued.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really intrigued.
Yeah, and on that note, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Also, that's a top three movie for me this year as well. Lovely movie based on the classic Judy Blume novel. Another one that made me sob. Just a beautiful story about growing up. And growing up at any age, I think that's what really makes that movie wise, is that it's not only about a little girl growing up into a young woman, but it is also about Rachel McAdams' mother character, you know, growing up as well and going through transition. And this realization that life is just constant transition and constant change. I love that movie, and if Rachel McAdams doesn't get nominated for Best Supporting Actress, I riot.
Okay, there you go.
All right, there will be riots in the streets.
Riot, a very polite riot, where I just ask people to watch a movie.
where does Barbie make it? Because I finally caught Barbie. I can't remember what streaming service it's on, but I did
Netflix.
Finally catch Netflix. I did finally catch it.
Max. I think it's actually on Max.
HBO Max. Whatever. I thought.
Yeah.
I thought.
Who can know nowadays?
I thought Barbie was so good, and just the opening sequence alone with the doll and the comparison to 2001: A Space Odyssey was just brilliant. I just thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, it's a really fun, but it's really delightful that two of the biggest stories at the box office this year were two movies like Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
It's such a nice thing that these two really auteur-driven, director-driven, beautiful productions are two of the best box office successes of the year. And I really like Barbie a lot. That's probably on the outside of my top 10, but it is, we're having a really good year if Barbie doesn't make a top 10, which I do want to give a quick shout out to Calvin on the board, who said, quick shout out to Godzilla Minus One, tremendous movie. That is also in my top 10. Godzilla Minus One is the best blockbuster you could see this year. It is
I haven't even heard of it.
It's a Toho Japanese Godzilla movie, so not one of the newfangled American ones, which are fun in their own right.
Right, right.
This is a Godzilla movie about a kamikaze pilot who is living with regret after the war, and all of a sudden Godzilla shows up. It is tremendous. The scale and the terror of Godzilla is back in this movie. The monster stuff is the best it's been in a long time. While also at the same time, the human story matters. Normally the running joke with Godzilla is, well, the human stuff, skip that, you know, fast forward through that. The human story in Godzilla is tremendous as well. It's truly great. I really hope people check that one out. It's still showing at a few theaters right now.
I love Godzilla movies. I do. And so does my daughter. She is crazy about them. But so Liz has already seen it. She went by herself. But I think I would like to see it now that you've given it such high accolades.
The human story is great. And the Godzilla, we're used to Godzilla being kind of, you know, a blockbuster creation at this point, that it's exciting when he shows up. This movie makes him scary when he shows up. it is horrifying to see what he does to these cities while also still, you know, still an exciting movie at the same time. It really is everything you would want from a Godzilla movie.
Well, and really I haven't seen a Godzilla movie since, I don't know, the 60s is probably the last one I saw.
So they're good.
So the fact that they've actually been able to make Godzilla scary as opposed to the old bad animatronics or whatever they had where he was just like,
yeah,
well,
no.
He still kind of moves like a kind of a rubber beast, but I think there's weight to it. I think that's what Godzilla Minus One has that most Hollywood blockbusters don't. There is a weight to Godzilla. There is a weight to the cities getting destroyed. There is a weight to the human drama going on around it. And it's very melodramatic, but it's a monster movie. Like, you want high drama to go along with this high, you know, explosive, larger than life dinosaur attack. It is a really tremendous movie.
You know what I just recently saw, and there's some Oscar buzz going on with it, is May December.
Oh, yes. On Netflix.
Right. I thought that was the kid who played, who is kind of based loosely on Mary Kay Letourneau and Billy.
Oh, okay.
And there's a Natalie Portman plays this, you know, she's trying to write about them. And why am I blanking on who the main character is, the woman?
Julianne Moore.
That's the one. Yes. Yeah. It's a very, very interesting film. Slightly disturbing because of the subject matter, but I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, Netflix has had a really good year in terms of a lot of their original movies. They had the new David Fincher movie this year, The Killer. They have the new Bradley Cooper movie, Maestro, the Leonard Bernstein biopic, which has taken a long time to get off the ground, and I'm sure we'll get Oscar nominations as well. Yeah, a lot of really great movies coming out on Netflix, which is great because they also had some of my least favorite stuff that came out this year, too. It's the best of both worlds.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. If you're just joining us, Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com is our guest, and we're talking about the best and worst movies of 2023. So let's have some fun with the worst.
Yeah, I'll go with that. This has actually a little bit of a local connection. The Hatchet-Wielding Hitchhiker, which was a documentary that came out early in January this year, about kind of the viral story of this hitchhiker who stopped an attack from happening with a hatchet. And it turned into this viral meme because the guy talked like a surfer guy and he turned into a viral figure. And then the story gets really dark. And I think it is a bad documentary because it doesn't tell its story very well at all. It is a poorly told story. And it actually features CBS 58's Jessup Risebeck, who actually was the person who kind of broke this person into the mainstream with his news story. So Jessup, you did great. You are the best part of this not good documentary. And I think it exemplifies to me the great problem with documentary right now, which is so much of it is streaming, chasing after kind of these gaudy stories, these virally stories, and not really taking the time to actually think about the story and think about what they're saying with the story and think about how to tell this story. There's a lot of really difficult subject material in this documentary that it has no idea what to deal with.
Oh, that's
there's stuff involving sexual abuse and homelessness and, you know, trauma and all of these things. And too much of the movie is just interested in being like, whoa, wasn't this a crazy story? Whoa, wasn't this guy weird? It to me exemplifies a lot of what is wrong with the kind of streaming documentary business of, oh, wasn't this a crazy story? Oh, should we, is there anything here? Like, what is the point of the story beyond we want to get some clicks? I found that very frustrating.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. And like you said, if it's got this difficult subject matter that's also involved in this, you would think that they would want to craft the story around that. But
yeah, it gets really careless at the end in terms of, you know, what it's trying to say about this guy, this real person, you know, and what it's saying about, you know, mental illness and trauma and, you know, all of these stories. And it just does not handle it very well at all, in my opinion. I feel like it. You could come away with it being like, oh, we people like it is a movie that doesn't know what it's trying to say, and it very frustrates me.
I liked, you know, I did like the first, The Meg. I did kind of get a kick out of it, but the Meg 2, I can't get through it. I just can't. It's about this monster shark. And then Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. What were they thinking? Oh,
it's the worst movie of the year. It's bar none the worst movie of the year, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. First of all, it is deeply cynical. The idea of this, soon as Winnie the Pooh came out on, you know, public rights and was able to be used by more people, someone immediately was like, what if we made a slaughterhouse movie out of it? And it's not even a good slasher film. It's not even a good, crummy, C-level yes. movie.
Got it.
It is so shoddily produced, so poorly made, so ill-conceived. It's clearly just a cash-in on someone being like, wouldn't we go viral for making a Winnie the Pooh horror movie? And congratulations, you did. They're going to make a sequel. I'm sure they're going to have more money to make it because the first one was a success. But yeah, it's shameless. It is a shameless movie that shouldn't exist. And I'm not trying to be puritanical about this where it's like, oh, what about the kids? I don't care. You can make a horror movie about anything, but come on.
At least try, right?
Right?
Yeah.
It's a shame is what it all is.
That a boy.
I'm stunned they're going to make a sequel, although I guess I shouldn't be. It sounds like it's right up there, though, with Cocaine Bear.
I mean, it was made for approximately $10. I mean, you look at it, and it was made for $10, and it made like $1 million. So very profitable movie. Hopefully they spend more than $20 on the sequel, but why would they? These are not people with a lot of creativity.
Right. We'll have to wait and see. Matt Miller, thank you so very, very much.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a happy new year.
Thanks for having me. And happy new year.
Happy new year to you, too.
We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thank you again. Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matt there in for Kristen Bry, my friend and colleague. Carol Kane with me live in studio. Calvin is on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789. Shoot us a text, give us a call, or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can leave a message there as well. I understand there should be some pretty good facial expressions from the first half hour of this program, in case you missed it. Well, and
apparently, our faces were priceless. Yes,
there was a lot going on and some really funny texts. One woman said, Elaine Bennis would say, I don't know how you guys walk around with those things. Very carefully.
Yes.
Apparently, very carefully.
Yes, yes, yes.
This weekend, New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Sunday night. 2024.
I can't believe it's 2024 already. Seriously. The last 2 years for me kind of flew by. And that even threw in my two, you know, major hip surgeries where I was sitting around doing nothing.
Right.
But we're going to just stay at home and just kind of chill. I'm not usually very big on resolutions because I usually do cash them in pretty quickly.
You mean you give up?
I find myself like skirting the issue, if you will. And but I have made a vow to myself to get healthier. I have to, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I'm not going to the gym as much as I was. I have to get back into my walking and I have to eat better. I eat crap, Jane. I do.
I'm right there with you, and I would say those are the exact same things that I absolutely need to address in 2024.
I need to start eating green food.
Green things?
Green things.
Not just fried things?
Right. I mean, yeah. For me, it's so easy to fall into the bad habits, you know, because I was going to make dinner for Lou and he kind of screwed up the grocery list. So I just looked at him and I said, okay, we're just ordering a pizza.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need pizza like we eat pizza. And so we just ordered a pizza. And in addition, you know, it's getting to be a little expensive.
Yes, it is.
It's getting to be a little expensive. So I'm thinking that if I could just like get some lettuce.
The thing though is either because now I buy the lettuce in a bag, because if I buy an entire head of lettuce, most of it is going to rot.
Right. I get it.
And I can get through a bag at least over the course of a couple of days.
Right.
Without having to throw it all out.
Right.
And that's the, I think that's the challenge too, for if you're single, it's even harder to cook for yourself.
Yeah.
And to cook well for yourself. And Paul and I too, we don't eat as much as we used to. We used to go out for big steak dinners and stuff like that. We haven't done that in ages.
I went out, to tell you the truth, I went out with some very dear friends of mine and we went to, shout out, Milwaukee Steakhouse. And the one man that I was with, he's like, I'm ordering for you. And this slab of meat that was on my plate was...
so big.
Oh, my God. Nobody needs to eat all that.
Not at one sitting.
No. I mean, 90% of it went home with... It was prime rib. And here's how bad I am. I skip the meat and I eat the fat. That's how bad Carol is when it comes to stuff. Like Liz will, when we make prime rib at home, she pushes the, and she goes, you're not eating that. And I go, watch me.
Again, you and I are so different, especially when it comes to food. It amazes me. I think you're brave. You will eat just about anything. But Calvin, I am curious, speaking as our resident young person on behalf of your entire generation, what will you be doing this New Year's Eve?
Probably staying at home and playing video games.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm not a big goer-outer, so I'll probably just chill.
Not going to have friends over or, you know, nothing like that?
Who knows? We'll see if someone calls up, but I'm not going to make it a point to do it myself.
I mean, I watch a little bit of the
Rockin' New Year's Eve or whatever.
Right, right. I watch a little bit of that, but the past few years I've been so... silly and ridiculous that when they're drunk 90% of the time.
Well, and that's just it. When, I don't know, I guess some people enjoy that, but when they started drinking on the air, and you and I have been in broadcasting for a long, long time.
No good.
And it's just never a good idea.
No.
It really isn't. And even, yeah, things get looser and then some things get worser.
Right, right. And I, you know, I don't understand that whole having to go to watch the ball drop in New York City. Because you're a hostage. That's a hostage situation.
I mean, even just getting to a restroom.
Right.
If you're going to stand in Times Square with hundreds of thousands of people, I first of all, I couldn't stand that long.
No, it doesn't hold any allure to me whatsoever. So, yeah, nope. We're just, Calvin, we're having our hamburgers and tater tots and...
And you mentioned that right at the beginning of the show, and that's all I've been able to think about all show long now is hamburgers and tater tots. It sounds so good.
I know. And I like, you know, I make big fat hamburgers, so they're really super juicy, and they've got to go on the grill. Got to go on the grill. I got to have that charred flavor.
Okay.
So.
These are Carol's rules.
Yep.
Calvin, anyone in your generation making any New Year's resolutions?
I'm certainly not. I mean, I probably wouldn't follow it anyway, so what's the point of worrying about it?
Well, and I think sometimes people set up unrealistic expectations. So, like, I think you have the right idea, Carol, as far as move more, eat better.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Instead of I'm going to lose 30 pounds over the next year, then I just feel like you're setting yourself up to fail.
Yeah, I think you are too. And so I just think it's baby steps for me. I have to do it slow but sure, and that makes it easier for me. So we'll see. I don't know. You know, I may come back in 6 months and weigh 150 pounds more. Who knows?
Oh, I think that's highly unlikely. Texture from the 262, Calvin. I'm going to over to Calvin's house. I will bring gluten-free pizza rolls.
Sounds like a plan.
There you go.
Another text from the 262. I had to go to Wisconsin treadmill challenge. I think we should do it. Every step you take adds seconds to your life. And you're absolutely right. And Dr. Lyerly has talked about that before. Even 20 minutes.
Right.
Even walking for 20 minutes.
Right.
Should be something that we can all do.
It just go around the block. It's fine. And the people that sit there and say, it's too cold. Put another pair of pants on. Go outside, get some fresh air, get rid of the cobwebs.
You heard it here. Carol Kane. Thank you so very, very much, Carol. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you to everyone who called and listens and texts. It means everything. And I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Don't go away. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.